Well, this morning we are in the Gospel of John in what has sometimes been called the farewell discourses. These are the words that Jesus left with his disciples before he left the earth, before he ascended. And they're words that the disciples would come back to again and again, particularly after his death and resurrection, because they found new meaning in them. And so we're going to look this morning at John 15, 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. God blesses the reading and the hearing and the living of his word this morning. Well, I was in a little bit of a punchy mood when I wrote the name of this message, Your BFF. Anybody know what BFF is? Best friends forever. And it's interesting that Jesus talks about friendship in terms of eternity. BFF is the sort of thing that we might use in shorthand when we text someone on our phone. You're my BFF. Best friends forever can be a true term of endearment. But I think as we get older, it's used more of has more of a tongue-in-cheek quality, as in, come help me move this weekend, you'll be my BFF. And of course, nowadays, friend has become a verb, right? You friend someone, like on Facebook, you send them a message, and they can decide to be your friend, and they can respond yes or no. And if you do, then your pages are linked, and you become their friend. And of course, you can just as easily unfriend, which has now become a verb. And it's probably best to stay far away from Facebook if you're anything like me and you waste a lot of time wondering why someone has unfriended you. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, you're probably just as well. We toss around friend in our culture in this very superficial way. But in the ancient world, when Jesus was talking about friendship, he was very serious. This was a deep and intimate relationship. It wasn't something to take lightly at all. It was as serious in many ways as family, brother, sister, husband, wife, mother, and child. And it involved sacrifice. My Katie called me this week. I was out on a walk on that beautiful day the other day, and she called, and she was just telling me about the course of her day at school, and of course, her whole school day now is in French, and she said there was an actor who came and spoke to her class that day about the meaning of love, and she said, Mom, in French, there are two words, l'amour and ami. L'amour being romantic love, ami being this friend love. And this whole discussion came about in the classroom, and one of her very serious classmates, he's a Muslim boy, he said he had no tolerance for these romantic relationships all around him, that he was gonna find the one person to marry, and that would be very serious, and there was a lot of obligation in that relationship. and that these romantic relationships all around him were a waste of time. This upset a lot of her classmates in the room who disagreed with him. She said later in the discussion there were two boys that had been buddies since they were kindergartners, and they exchanged t-shirts and go with their families on vacation, and one of those boys said, you know, a friend is forever. Romantic loves girls. They come and go. And this upset both of their girlfriends who were in the room for the discussion. But she had quite a philosophical take on all of this, which seemed to pertain to what I was thinking about at the time as well as I prepared this message. And that is that this deep idea, this idea of a deep relationship, of deep friendship with God, would have seemed so unusual and such a surprise to Jesus' audience. Let's listen to it again in verses 14 and 15. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. Jesus is calling them into a new relationship, something quite different. And when we read it in context, I think it's helpful to know that being a servant in this context wasn't a bad thing at all. In the ancient world, a servant was an important part of the family. A servant helped everything to function. A servant had important duties in any context. And Jesus is saying, yeah, being my servant, that's important. And Jesus wants us to be his servant. But he said, I'm calling you beyond that, not just servant. I'm calling you to be a friend, intimate and close. Would have been such a surprise to his first listeners. I don't know what they would have made of this very intimate relationship with God. But the key piece that Jesus seems to be saying is that God has shared his plans, his business, his vision for a redeemed world. In fact, the Hebrew word for friendship has this added meaning, which is secret. It's the same word, friendship and secret. In other words, a friend is one who knows one's secret business. I wanted us to look at this together in Psalm 25:14. And let me show you some different versions of this verse. Psalm 25:14 in the NRSV is, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. Here's the very same verse in the NIV. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. And here's the King James. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will shew them his covenant. That's some old language. But the translators, when they come to a verse like this, they don't know how to translate it. You can translate it as friendship, or secret, or counsel, or one who confides. The meaning is that of a friend is one who confides. This friendship is two-sided. I was thinking about this, you know, from time to time you find yourself sharing your heart with somebody. I don't know if this ever happened to you. You seem to get along with somebody really well, and you perhaps share some things with them, and you realize over the course of time that that person isn't sharing anything with you about their life. And so the relationship is really more like a professional, more like a therapist who listens carefully and maybe gives advice. They care about you, but perhaps you wouldn't call them friend. Perhaps they would not call you friend. And this isn't what Jesus is talking about either. Jesus is saying a friend is someone who shares in a relationship that's a two-way street. Last week, we talked about what it meant to abide, what it meant to be a branch on Jesus' vine, and that it's this abiding that helps us to grow. helps us to continue this vibrant, pulsating life that Jesus wants to run through us. And it's this abiding that keeps us alive, that helps us to bear fruit. And Jesus is continuing in this passage with this very same idea. Let's look again at 9 to 11. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And as Christians, we understand our faith to be Trinitarian. That is, God is three in one, one in three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sometimes we'll talk about them in terms of Redeemer, Creator, Sustainer, a little bit different language. Three persons, one in three. And God is this integral, already in this very integral, powerful, loving relationship. And it's into this relationship that God is calling us. As the Father loved me, so I love you, he says. My joy will be in you. Obey the Father's commands. Abide in my love. He's calling us right into that very intimate relationship. And it's this perfect relationship that Jesus is calling us to. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but I mean, all of us get lonely from time to time. You may find yourself lonely. And when you find yourself lonely, there's actually nothing wrong with you. We look at it as kind of a defect, don't we? But the reality is we're not to be out of relationship. God has created you to be in relationship. And so we get into all kinds of trouble and make mistakes along the way, but if you find yourself lonely, it's not because there's something wrong. That's why solitary confinement is one of the worst punishments ever invented. And many of our prison systems are looking at this again and making reforms over this because as they rethink it, it's really quite cruel. It's one of the worst things that can happen. And so if you're lonely, it's really important to find yourself the company of other Christian friends. That's what church is about, right? This morning is a great morning to praise God and to thank God for Christian friends. Remembering that you're in this relationship with Christ and you've been called to be a blessing to this other group of people, to this group of people. Because all of us here got a promotion. We got a promotion from servant to friend. How about that? As we close up this morning, I thought we would just take a moment. If you're able, how about you just get out of your seat and greet someone and say, thank you for being a friend.